Welcome to God, Sex, and You, a daily discipleship podcast on healthy sexuality. Here's your host, Purity Pastor Dustin Daniels.
The temptations in your life are no different from what others experience. And God is faithful. He will not allow that temptation to be more than you can stand. And when you are tempted, He'll show you a way out so that you can endure. Today, we continue our conversation with Dr. Julie Slattery, and we're discussing her new book for women, and it's called Sex and the Single Girl. Our show today will focus on everybody's favorite topic, and that is sexual temptation. And Julie's going to share four stages of sexual temptation with us. We're also going to discuss, number one, why we immediately feel so guilty when it comes to sexual desire. Number two, how sexual temptation becomes your happy place. And number three, the physiological side of temptation. What happens to our brains and our bodies? Today's show is titled, The Four Stages of Sexual Temptation. You mentioned four stages of temptation, and we've been talking about temptation quite a bit. Let's chat about those four stages. The first one is to feel the desire.
Yeah. Yeah, and again, you know, we have mentioned that there's nothing wrong with sexual desire. That actually is part of how God created us. And I'm the mom of three boys, and they're all in their teen years. And if they didn't have sexual desire, then that would actually be a problem. You know, we think about it in terms of it's a bad thing, but it's sexual desire that God gives to young men and young women that prompts them to begin seeking relationship and ultimately ending in, hey, I love you so much that I want to make great sacrifices in order to make a lifelong commitment to you. Sexual desire is the initial spark of that. So I want people to hear that it's not the desire that's wrong, but it's what we do with desire. Yeah. And so, yes, it does start with our desire and then progresses based on what we do with that desire.
What happens, though, Julie? Because doesn't it, once we feel that desire, it's almost like, ooh, I feel guilty and I haven't done anything yet.
Yeah.
You know yeah. what I mean? It's like, oh, what do I do now?
Oh, yeah. You know, and even if our desire is twisted sometimes, that doesn't necessarily mean that we've chosen that. So, for example, I'll have a woman say to me, you know, lately I've been having all these dreams about same-sex relationships. And what does that say about me? Mm-hmm. You know, I feel terribly guilty that I'm having sexual dreams or I'm having dreams about having same-sex desire or attraction. And, you know, actually, it doesn't say anything about you other than you're human, you know, and some of our desires are good. Some of them go off the rails, but we all struggle with things like this. And so you're absolutely right that usually we'll jump to an immediate conclusion that this must mean that I'm a terrible person and I've already sinned just because I even had that dream or I had that thought.
Yeah.
When that's just the form of temptation that our desire is now taking. And then the real choice of whether we sin or not becomes what do we do with that temptation?
I don't know. Do you agree with this statement? It's something that I've thought about a lot, is that at some level, when we talk about sexuality, and it doesn't matter how good a home that you were brought up in, whether it's the Brady Bunch home or, you know, the Beaver Cleaver type home, at some level, it just seems to me that we're all broken with sexuality at some at some level. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. As a matter of fact, I just finished writing a book, and one of the chapters is We Are All Sexually Broken. So there's a whole chapter on that. But that's something that I also have come to the conclusion of, and I kind of grew up in the Christian Leave It to Beaver home. And, you know, if you just looked at kind of the details of my life, you would say there's really no brokenness there sexually. But God has revealed to me over the years how much brokenness there really is. And also, even in terms of if we were to look at our sexuality within the context of the larger gospel that we that we profess. The gospel says that, you know, all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We all are in need of God's redemption. And for some reason, we don't tend to extend that into our sexuality. But I 100% agree with you. I think that that sexuality is such a spiritual battlefield, that we have an enemy who will, in any way that he can, twist and tarnish our understanding and experience of sexuality, and that every single one of us at different levels is carrying around scars from that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we feel the desire, Julie. That's the first stage of temptation in your book. And then you say the second stage is to linger on that desire.
Yeah. So, you know, it's that stage where you have a thought, you have a temptation, and you can make the choice of do I stay in that? And, you know, I know for men, a lot of this plays out, as you mentioned, in the visual. You know, do I continue looking? Do I scroll to the next website?
Yes.
You know, do I continue mm-hmm. to bring up those images that I saw earlier to dwell on them? For women, a lot of times, again, it's fantasy or it's thinking about another man. So she sees, you know, this great spiritual man at her church who seems to just be such a loving husband. And instead of just saying, hey, that's a good guy, she begins dwelling on that. What would it be like if I were married to him? And he seems so much better than my husband is. And she lingers in that thought and in that temptation.
And then what happens after we linger for so long? And that lingering could be a few moments, or it could be a few days, or even weeks, couldn't it? It's not just like an instant.
It could. Mm-hmm. And I don't know about you. I think that this is kind of common to human nature, but that lingering feels like a happy spot for us. You know, that's the pleasure of sin. It feels like a happy spot to go back to with the stress of life, with the disappointment of your own current situation or relationship. It's like this secret treasure thought that you can go back to that brings excitement. And I know that's kind of what starts that addiction cycle related to sexuality is I can go in my thoughts somewhere that's going to make me feel excitement and a thrill and happiness and peace for a moment. But then what ends up happening as we linger there is eventually we will begin acting on that. You know, whether it's, again, pursuing even further into looking at pornographic images or picking up another erotic novel, or actually acting out sexually with somebody. And, you know, that's again, we started this conversation, Dustin, talking about, you know, scandals that are happening in our culture today. They didn't start there. You know, the Matt Lauers and, you know, the things that people like that end up acting out on did not start there. It started with a desire that went awry. And, you know, that you just gave more and more energy to, and that you take steps of, you know, just making unwise decisions and hurtful decisions. And I know, again, in your ministry, you've experienced that personally and see it over and over again, that what starts as a subtle, maybe, you know, not so bad temptation, a couple years down the road, you start making decisions where you're like, where in the world, how did I get here?
That's exactly right. It's such a slow burn. You know, it's like sin is so subtle and so patient, much more patient than we are. Yeah. And it's just breaking my kind of stepping over that gray line, just inch by inch, decade after decade. And all of a sudden you go, wow, I had no idea that I was going to be here. So that lingering stage that you're talking about, Julie, is... it's also the stage where the physiological level of all the brain chemistry and just our hormones and all that stuff starts to happen. These aren't subjective feelings at this point. These are real things that are happening to my body.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. And so like when I say that becomes your happy place, you know, your brain is proving that with, you know, all of a sudden you get a burst of dopamine, which makes you feel really good, and adrenaline. And so, you know, that's again where how we respond to sin becomes something that that impacts not just our mind and our heart, but impacts even our biology.
Yeah. The problem with lingering there and being in that happy place is I don't get to stay there, Julie. I've got to come down, don't I? And yeah. That's kind of moving into to your third stage here is taking the bait.
Yeah. And so taking the bait is when you really start, begin believing that I deserve this. I need this. And you hear all these kinds of rationalizations when we engage in sexual sin. My spouse isn't meeting my needs. You know, I have overwhelming stress in my job. I need something for me. It really doesn't hurt any other person. And so taking the bait is you have lingered to such an extent you really have convinced yourself that that you need to step into sin and that you can have what you want and the consequences really aren't going to be that bad. And again, that's when we begin acting out.
And then we act out and then we experience death, and that's the fourth stage.
Yeah. And, you know, the way that Solomon wrote about this in the book of Proverbs is such a great word picture. You know, he talks about this seductive woman who is luring a naive man into her home for sexual sin. And what Solomon says is that when he gets there, he realizes he's in the house of the dead. And again, I know that you experience this in your ministry just like we do in ours, that the end result is, you know, maybe not dead bodies, but dead relationships, and, you know, just despair and shame and, you know, loss of the respect of your children and your reputation. And again, all we have to do is look at what's happening around us. You know, all these men who are respected in culture, you know, who are at the top of their fields, now being forced to resign their positions, being exposed in their character. And right now they are experiencing what Solomon said would happen. The end of this is death. And you can't escape it. And that's what the Bible keeps trying to tell us is you can't trick God. You can't engage in sin over and over again and not end up in a place that is represented by death.
Julie is referencing Proverbs chapter 5, and it's so fitting what all of these headlines are talking about right now. King Solomon writes in verses 7 through 9, he says, "So now, my sons, listen to me. Never stray away from what I'm about to say. Stay away from her." He's talking about the immoral woman there. "Don't go near the door of her house. If you do, you'll lose your honor and you'll lose to merciless people all that you've achieved." You know, I did a whole series on Proverbs chapter 5, and I would like to invite you to check it out on the website. I walk you through every verse of that entire chapter. It's titled "Made Perfect in Purity." So I pray that that is a blessing to you. Tomorrow, we continue our conversation with Dr. Julie Slattery, and we're going to be discussing how sexual sin leads to anger and depression. Well, thank you so much for listening to God, Sex, and You. You can follow me on Twitter and on Facebook at Purity Pastor. And as we go through our day today, I pray that you cling to the words of Jesus. In Matthew 5:8, he says, "Blessed are the pure in heart." I pray today as you go out through your day that you cling to those words of Jesus. Notice he didn't say you got to have a perfect heart. He said pure heart. And as you walk today, that your heart becomes more and more pure. I love you, and I look forward to our time again tomorrow.